So our second reading is going to come to us from the book of Ephesians, and so I thought it would be fruitful for us to spend some time in Ephesians, because it's a fantastic book, packed full of promise, full of gospel, all sorts of good stuff. This morning's passage, there's two points of trivia, I guess I could say, for this morning's passage. If you want to look at Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, first trivia is that in the Greek, the original language this is written in, all, 12 of those verses is all just one sentence. There's not a single period or comma to be found. It is all one sentence. It's just clause after clause after clause. It is an English teacher's worst nightmare, really, because you can't tell what modifies what. Does this go with this? Does this go with this? It's a very hard thing for translators to do. Just one long sentence. It's also known as what is called a berakah, which is a Hebrew word that literally means blessing. And for here, it means it's a prayer of blessing. That's why you get the first verse there, blessed be God the Father. It's a prayer of blessing. A second point of trivia is berakah is where we also get the name Barak, as in you know who. But I'll leave it to you to decide whether he is appropriately named or not. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Seems a little strange to bless God, doesn't it? I mean, what can I bless God with? And the answer really is nothing. But it's another way of saying kind of praise the Lord. Give praise to God. And in this case, we praise God because He has blessed us. Now, there are many reasons to give God praise, to bless Him. Perhaps you've been blessed in good health. Financially, maybe you've been blessed. Maybe it's with good family. These are all reasons to bless God. But Paul has loftier things in mind. He proclaims God to be blessed because God has blessed those in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And that phrase, in Christ, you're going to see that a lot in Ephesians. It's a very important phrase to Paul, because really there are those who are in Christ and those who are not. Scripture is not universalism. It doesn't proclaim everyone to be saved. There are some who are not. That's just the way it is. There are those that are in Christ and there are those who are not in Christ. Here, Paul is addressing those who are in Christ. And blessed are they. Everything Paul then says after this first verse, this blessed be God who has blessed us, is an unpacking, if you will, of why we are blessed in God. And it comes down to basically three things. We are blessed because of our salvation. We are saved. We are in Christ. And as people in Christ, we are adopted into God's family. And as people adopted into God's family, we are given and blessed with the Holy Spirit. The verse says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if you think of it, these are the three things that we confess to happen in holy baptism. This is very much a book that is a baptism-centric, you could say, because we receive those things in baptism. Blessed be God the Father who has blessed us, Paul says, inasmuch as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Paul wants to make it abundantly clear that on no account of our own do we receive these blessings of God. God chose us. in Christ before the foundation of the world. What an amazing thing. Now, at one point or another, we all have this desire to be chosen. Maybe you had a time where you desired to be chosen by someone special, someone who your heart fluttered after a little bit, who you stole glances at from across the room, the classroom, the dance floor, and you desired for them to choose you, not her. Or, maybe like myself, you stood shoulder to shoulder with your classmates at one time and hoped beyond hope that the team captains would not leave you as the last person to be chosen yet again. Or that they wouldn't just stick you out in no man's land, which for me was right field, okay? You stood there with crossed fingers, hoping that you would be chosen. Or maybe you looked across the dinner table at your spouse, at your children, at your parents, and just wished that they would choose you over their phone, over work, over someone else. Being chosen affirms that we have value, that we matter. It authenticates us. It makes us feel loved, doesn't it? So the Scripture's declaration here is no small thing. God the Father chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And to emphasize this point, Paul uses some words that we often don't like to hear, but they're there, so we can't hide from them. In verse 5, Paul says that God the Father has destined, but that's a tame way of our translation to say it, by the way. The word is predestined, that God has predestined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. We don't like words like chosen. We don't like words like predestined. They often make our the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. They cause us to bristle a little bit. They are threatening words because words like chosen or election, as the old King James would put it, predestination, they sound threatening. They can make God feel like He's a tyrant, almost. Like He has randomly looked over creation and chosen you, but not you. You, but not you. But these things are not on Paul's mind, okay? These words are words of blessing. They are words of assurance to those in Christ. They are words of promise to you, because you are in Christ. You have been baptized into Him. When we long to be chosen by another person, for whatever reason, we work hard towards that end. I think this time of year of politicians and how hard they are working even now, 15 months away from when the actual election process takes place. Another 15 months before they will know whether or not all their hard work will pay off. Millions, if not billions of dollars, thousands of miles traveled, handshakes, kissing babies, the speeches, and all of that assures them of nothing. It assures them of nothing. Here, Paul assures you of everything. That God has chosen you through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His Father's will. I love that phrase, according to God's good pleasure. It's a phrase that's intended to trigger in our minds what the Father said to Christ Himself when Christ was baptized, when Christ was at the Transfiguration. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. By that same well-pleasedness, God's will, He has chosen you. We don't have to seek God's approval. Instead, it is through Christ, through the Beloved, that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through Christ, we are made righteous in God's sight. And Paul declares these benefits, his redemption, his forgiveness. To be the riches of God, not just handed over to you, but as Paul says, lavished upon you. I don't know why, but I always think of Scrooge McDuck swimming in great piles of money. And if you get that reference, good for you. Lavished upon you. From the very beginning, God's plan, His desire, His good, pleasing will was to bestow on you grace and mercy, forgiveness, redemption. And in this, those who are in Christ can be assured, simply because God has chosen you for the adoption as His children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. Blessed are those who are in Christ, who have been baptized into Him, who can look to the font and know that there God made promises to me in water and word. Blessed are those who are in Christ who know that they deserve nothing and therefore come to God in all humility to receive Him and not to reject Him. They have the assurance of God's salvation. Today, be comforted by the Spirit's words given to Paul for those who are in Christ. This, I like to think of this document and that phrase, those in Christ, as though we are all secret agents in Her Majesty's Secret Service, just like James Bond. And you know how James Bond always got documents and it said, "For your eyes only." This, dear Christians, is for your eyes only. This assurance is to you. It isn't to those who are not in Christ. Be comforted by the Spirit's words given to Paul that you are chosen by God. That before time began, God had your salvation in mind through Jesus Christ. And let us not reject the promises of God given to us, but receive them with gladness and thankfulness and joy as we seek to serve Him more and more each day. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and Heavenly Father, there are many in this world who reject You. Let us not be counted among them. But let us enjoy in thankfulness, cling to that which You give us, the life, the salvation that You desire, that You offer to us. And help us to know that You have always had us in mind, and that You offer Your salvation to us. We pray this in Your name. Amen.